I felt was most fitting for today, for circumstances that we find ourselves in, would be talking about life and our life this year. Our life filled with purpose and with power. One time a fellow was asked, he says, how do you define a New Year's resolution? And he says, oh, that's easy. He says, that's just a to-do list that lasts for a week. And a lot of times it's that way. If you've ever decided, I'm going to really, for me, it was lose weight. For me, it was reading the Bible through cover to cover. For me, it was doing something about the Bible reading, things that I always wanted to do and wanted to be meaningful in my life. And I hope that you've done the same thing, not because it's a tradition, but because it's a fitting time. And the reason it's a fitting time is, we would say, well, duh, Bill, it's the start of a new year. But the beauty about making a resolution or renewing a commitment that we've made to one another, but more importantly to God, is that every single day is an opportunity to recommit, to renew, and to refresh commitments or resolutions, if you want to call it that. Oh, let's see, I got to turn on this thing. Apologize for that. Day is. It's so sad. And I'll admit to you that my situation is I'd make a resolution and for whatever it was. And sure enough, I'd go down that slippery slope. And sometimes it didn't take a week. And I'd say, oh, well, you know, that's toast. And I'd just toss it to the side and go on like I had never made it. Why wasn't it as important to me then when I messed up as it was the time that I made it? And the beauty about God is he's so forgiving and he's so loving and he wants the best for us so in such a great degree. God lets us start over every single day, brothers and sisters. Isn't that wonderful? And the thing is that by doing that, we can continue to work on our life. So it's not just a power for life to live with God's power to live a life, but thanks to God, it's a power for a life of purpose. We don't just get up in the morning to go through the day. If your highlight of your day is going to work, I'd like to have a talk with you afterwards. Not because you need some help, you know, a checkup from the neck up or anything like that, but because the fact is that our purpose in life, by our God and our Creator, He gives us a purpose. He gives us a reason to get out of bed every morning. And if you aren't aware of what that purpose is in your life, I hope that this morning you'll be able to take another look at that in your life. God has always displayed His power. From the very before time began, God displayed His power. We stop and think of the power that it took to speak the world into creation. We stop and think of the things that man has tried to dumb down God's beautiful and magnificent creations and tried to make it to where it would be explained away, God's power would be explained away. But think of the power in that. Think of the power that there was in the destruction of the world, in the flood. In reading that this week before last, and looking at that, and you ask yourself many of what I call simple or dumb questions, and that is, think of the animals coming. You know, I mean, I'm going to stretch the truth here a little bit and say, sometimes we have a little trouble with Maggie at home. She's pretty strong-willed. And I think, can you imagine having to take two of those Maggies and put in the ark? Or maybe your animals. And sometimes they don't want to cooperate. The power that God used in making those things seem so simple and so non-eventful. Think of the power that in the conception and the birth of Jesus. Try to explain that away. Think of the power in Jesus' life and all of his miracles. It was stupefying the Pharisees. And the only way they could explain it away was killing. How sad. Think of the power in the crucifixion of our Savior, brothers and sisters. The power that Jesus had to call upon to be able to make it through the beatings, to be able to make it through the actual torture and the actual amount of drain that it was on him physically. Think of the power that God exhibited in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amazing, amazing power for all those things. Christ's birth, his life, and his death, and his resurrection demonstrated so succinctly God's power. In Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 10, and we're going to go 13 and 14, Paul says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward what is ahead, toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen. I feel strongly the same way, and I hope you do too. But the beauty here is Paul saying, I couldn't do it without the power that I gained from God, that same power that was used to raise Jesus from the dead. And I like the beauty, and it goes right along with our thought this morning. And Paul says that I use the daily approach as well. One thing I do, and Paul says, one thing that makes me be able to keep my focus is I forget the things that are behind. Satan wants, and he's got helpers that'll remind you. I'm telling you, if you don't have helpers that remind you, you would be in the minority. People that'll say, hey, how can you be a Christian? I saw you get upset with somebody. How can you be a Christian? I saw you do this or do that. Satan wants to hold us back, brothers and sisters. Paul said we need to forget what was behind. Forget that we messed up on our commitment, our resolution. Begin anew. Ask God to forgive you by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power in that sacrifice, and start over again as if it was all fresh and new. You talk about, well, what power? How about May 18th, 1980? 500 times more powerful than an atom bomb. In a moment, in a second, in a flash, 1,200 elevation feet was removed from Mount St. Helens on that day. You recall that? The satellite images were unbelievable. How that in just a moment, a quarter section of that mountain was literally blown away. Talk about the power. What a tragedy, brothers and sisters, that all that power is available to us. Proven power, I might add. And we don't access it simply because we have a lack of faith. Stop and think down through history. I think of the Wright brothers, comes to mind real quickly. Here was a couple of guys that they didn't go to college. They didn't have degrees. And all of the aeronautical and people that were trying to come up with planes and how to control a heavier than aircraft, and nobody would give them credit because they were nobodies. And yet look at what they did. And so the same thing applies to us. It's not because of our learning. It's not because of our good looks. It's not because of our wealth. It's not because of the things that God has blessed us with physically. But brothers and sisters, friends, it's God who gives to us what we have. Amen? I'm asking amen, not so that I get a whole bunch of amens. I'm asking amen in saying rhetorically, do you agree? The things that you have at your house, I hear people talk about how hard they work to get what they've got, and I just shake my head. Why me? When people were being laid off at Boeing, friends, men and women that I worked with that were in dire situations. What about this last week with the closing of 63 Sam's Clubs across the country? These were people like you and me that were just going to work on a regular work day to get to work and find that the door's locked. You no longer have a job. Friends, that's when we can say, it's because of God. God took care of me as Job said to his wife, naked came I into the world and naked will I go out. God will take care of us. It's God who does, and it's God who will by his power. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read these five verses together, and I want to highlight some things as we read them together, okay? Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know. See, Paul says, I don't want you just to read the Bible. And our elders here don't want us to just daily read the Bible. Follow me if you would. Paul wanted them to let the eyes of their heart be enlightened. You see, we can know something. Back when we were young, and we noticed us guys, we noticed some gal, and we go, I know, she's pretty cute. But when that pretty cute becomes to our heart, and now action takes place because it comes from the heart. God wants the eye, through Paul, God wants the eyes of our heart, not just our head, to be enlightened to where we will take action on what we know. Again, it's not a book no, but it's a heart no, brothers and sisters. That's why the elders want us not just to read, but they want us to really read and to become a part of the scripture. And that's key in our lesson this morning to us being able to turn that power on from God. He wants us, Paul says, I want you to really know the hope that there is for you. You see someone that's down in the dumps, depressed, moaning because of their situation in life. We say, I think of my brother. At one time, he lost his house and lost his car and lost his job him and his family were living with us. And basically, he was just sitting at home every day, waiting for a job to come knocking on the door. So he was my older brother, and I respected him, but we went for a drive one night. And I told him, the time for looking for a position has ceased, and you need to avail yourself of God's wanting to bless you with a job. And so the job that he ended up taking forced him to make some compromises. And he told me, he said, Bill, you don't understand. It's my job. It's the living for my family. And I said, no, brother, you don't understand. God gave you any job you have. And brothers and sisters, God will bless you. It doesn't come from your good looks and your good doing. In the same way that God has blessed our brother Jeff and his family. Not because he's so good looking. Cindy would probably argue with me on that one. Not because he's so smart. There are smarter people than our brother Jeff. But because God is in control of that man's life and that family's life. Amen? And God is in the same manner. It's easy for us to point Jeff and the family out. It's easy to see that. What about you? What about your family? Isn't the same God in the same control in your life? And God wants to bless you. The Wright brothers, I go back to that and I think of, you know, why them? They didn't take anything for granted. And Orville, Wilbur, worked hard in their little bicycle shop. And they availed themselves of everything that God blessed them with. What about you? When you're thinking about making some commitments to God, maybe at the start of this year or the start of this week, what is there in your life that God's power has blessed you with that can help you in your life? The hope to which he's called you. God called each and every one of us. God's call goes out to the world. Some people just not answering their phone. What about you this morning? God's calling this morning. And I hope your phone's ringing. And I hope you answer your phone. If you're a father, I hope you answer the phone for your family. And you realize the responsibility of stepping to the plate and being the responsible, godly leader in your family that takes seriously the calling that God called us to. He's called us to the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. The riches of his glorious inheritance. His incomparably great power for us who believe. Look at all of these adjectives. Incomparably great power for us who believe. It's so sad, people that claim they don't believe in God, they're missing out on such a great things in life. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is. There is no name greater than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? We are blessed among all to be able to be given an opportunity to come and sing praises to our great and powerful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only in this present age was his name the greatest, but in all ages to come. And God placed, get this, all things under his feet, and he appointed him to be head over everything in the church. And he cares about you and I. The church, which is his body, that's you and I, brothers and sisters, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So let me ask, what's God's purpose for us? What's God's purpose for you right now, January 14th, 2018? If you haven't made a New Year's resolution, for whatever reason, every single day, God gives you the opportunity to rise, to greet the day, and to accept God's help. And live as he wants you to live, a blessed life, or ignore him, and be busy with the humdrum, mundane activities that are far from spiritual. God created us for good works. In the very beginning, God created man. He created man with a purpose then. And here we are, way down the historical timeline, and it's the same thing. The youngest child in our family here, God created him for something. To be eager, anxious, and zealous to do good works that God has for us. If you were to make a list of things, what would you be able to say that you did this week or you did yesterday by way of fulfilling what God made you to do? God is the power of our good works, brothers and sisters. It's not us. Kind of like the guy on the airplane that he said, you know, the plane was going to go down, and he was praying, and he said, God, if you get us down safely, I'll give you half of everything I own. And there was a preacher sitting behind him, and the plane landed safely, a great pilot. I think he was one of them Alaska Airline pilots. And the preacher, as they were getting off the plane, the preacher said, "Hey, I heard you make that promise to God, and I'd like to help you carry that out." He said, "Well, I've rethought that, and if I ever get in that situation again, I'm going to give him everything I own." You know, it's easy when we're in a bind to make promises that we don't keep. How sad. God is there just pouring and pouring and pouring out goodness to us. And he just wants us to be what he created us to be. I'll tell you, I know it's just an artist's conception on the earlier slide with what was to be Jesus crying. How can we hurt our God that way? He does have feelings. And we do hurt God. Does that bother you? I hope it does. Brothers and sisters, friends, we limit ourselves far more than God limits us. Our limits are more by a lack of our faith and our persistence. See, we have ups and downs. That's the way humans live. And that's why Paul says, I forget what happened and I press on. Man has made so many great strides, medically and scientifically, technology-wise. Yet to God, they are just so foolish. Did you hear this last week? There was a guy in England in prison, and they found him dead in his cell. True story. And they called the guards and the medical people from the infirmary, and they took him to the infirmary, and there were three different doctors that examined him. All three pronounced him dead. So they took him down to where they prepare your body. And they wanted to do an autopsy for some reason. So it was about 4 hours later, and the mortician started to do, or the doctor started to do the autopsy. And just as he started to cut him open, the man snorted. And he was alive. And he's in the hospital. He's still alive and he's doing okay. Three doctors said he was dead. So, they think about how much they've achieved and how far they've gone. And indeed they have. That's nothing compared. Nothing at all compared to the power and wisdom of our God. What about the spiritual power within you and I? What have we done with that? John 1 and verse 12 says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right or the power to become children of God." Ephesians 3 says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ." See, this right here, this is a together thing. You can't live, or it's certainly impossible, near impossible, to live a Christian life on an island all by yourself. God put us here for a reason. Let me ask you, seriously, why are you here this morning? Why are you here at Sumner, a part of this family? Why? I want you to think about that this week. God has you here for a reason. I believe that with all my heart. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in the power of God. Have you grappled with that and come to resolve that? Oh, I love talking with Joe and Katie. You know, if you haven't met them, you need to, back here in the back. You know, Joe's from Tri-Cities. and Katie's from Tacoma. And you ask, you know, what are they doing here? How did they end up here? How did you end up here? It's not by coincidence. God has a reason. And brothers and sisters, I hope we would all figure that out and fulfill and get on about serving the Lord here with why he put us here. 2 Peter 1, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. See, it's through our knowledge of him. If we don't read the Bible and come to know God, we miss out. Hebrews chapter 13. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that's that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. See, it's a matter of pleasing him by doing the work. So, dear friends and brethren, we're given the power to become the people and the person that God called us through the gospel to be. Philippians 4, a much cited passage, says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let me just ask, do you really believe that? Seriously, do you really believe that? Okay. What are you doing about it? And then on down, six verses later, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's all there. All that power is there. And we sit at the control asleep. God's given us the power to become who and what he wants us to be individually and corporately, as a family, as a group. Power to become his children through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Power to do all things through Jesus who gives us strength. Power for us to resist temptation. Power to do good works. Power to fulfill our purpose in this life, right here at Sumner. I want us to all to put behind us what we did or didn't do last year, maybe should have done, maybe even did. And I want us all to begin the year anew, tapping on that power, that same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead, and to be with a purpose, a servant of God here at this location. I want you to consider this for this year. God created us for good works, Ephesians 2:10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Power for us to perform. Maybe by the help and encouragement in our small groups. And so I want you to be reminded here that the small groups on the back doors back there, you'll find the sheets that list what group you're in. By being a part of a small group, actively doing things, we find that it becomes a joy and a pleasure. And it's so much easier when we do things together. And that's one of the things the small groups are for. And one of the things that they're highlighting is we gain strength from God's Spirit in our daily Bible reading. And so if we're doing that, knowing that, okay, God's going to strengthen us by his Spirit comes into our hearts by our reading the Word, I got to read the Word to be able to tap that strength. And so we need to actively be about, I don't care if you missed a day. God doesn't care. I mean, yes, he cares. But start over. Please don't let it get behind. You missed a day? Don't make it two. Don't make it three. Don't stop to get all together. We should be eager and zealous and excited. Titus 2:11 through 14 says, the grace of God appeared that offers salvation to all people, and it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. Did you have to come to church this morning? Oh, please don't let that be your case. It's something that we look forward to our Sundays together, where we sing with people who have the like faith and who have the same Savior. And we want to serve together. I'm personally excited when I hear of things that are happening among our family. We have ladies that are doing things that not many people are aware of, but they're out serving God. We have people that can't get out, but they're sending cards. They're doing things to use what God gives them. Can't we be that way, brothers and sisters, in this year? Consider for the new year that God is the power behind our good works. I want to quickly point out something that's always kind of been interesting to me. Genesis 1, 26 and 7, God said, "And let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, both male and female. Now, we don't have the wisdom and the power and knowledge of God, but he made us like him. And they're finding out more and more how amazing and powerful our brains and our bodies and our cells are. And then go on in the 11th chapter of Genesis. After the flood. "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they imagine, nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them." God knew that if we put our minds to it and put our talents to it, we can do anything. So, of course, he confused the languages. God still is more powerful than all the wisdom of man. But we can do so much more, brothers and sisters, doing it together as a happy, powerful group of God's people in this area. So here it is. You and I can be the people and the person that God wants us to be because God has empowered us to fulfill the purpose for which he created us. God has placed within each and every one of us sitting here, young and old, the power to become, the power of a purpose in our lives. God did not save us through his Son just to sit on our laurels waiting for him to come again. He calls us to grow in faith and in knowledge and in understanding and in good works. What about you? Are you following that pattern and that plan? You see, the decision is all ours. God has made everything available. And again, the picture of our Lord shedding a tear, being hurt that we don't avail ourselves of all that he's done in giving his life on the cross. The decision is ours. So this morning, I want to bring to a conclusion the lesson with a final reading. In Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, "Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Now here's the most important part of this verse I want to share with you. "For if we have been united with him in a death like his, in baptism, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Let me ask you, have you participated in the likeness of his death and burial? Because Paul says in this passage, if you haven't, I don't care how much you believe that Jesus is the Christ. I don't care how many good works you might be doing. If we haven't participated in the likeness of his death, in the watery grave of baptism, we will certainly only then be with him in the resurrection if we've participated in that. What about you this morning? Have you participated in that likeness? If you have, maybe like Paul, you need to say, I'm going to put behind me the things that I didn't get done. And I'm going to start over. And I'm going to be the person God wants me to be. If you haven't obeyed the command of Jesus and you haven't, through faith, repentance, confession, and finally being baptized to wash your sins away, to become a part of God's family, to participate in the likeness of his death so that in the end we can assuredly know that we have a resurrection in the end. You have that opportunity this morning. Won't you think about that as we stand and sing?